was a great week at VBS. You can clap. It was, you were across the hall, man. It was an awesome week. We're going to continue, Pastor Scott, off and on between being the church and VBS week and everything else. I've been going through 2 Peter. And I knew he was going to be leaving. He's at the National Southern Baptist Convention Conference. And I said, hey, I could be glad to take that Sunday, right? So we're going to take these last 5 verses of 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 14 through 18. If you want to grab a Bible and open it up, you'll want to go along with me. You can do it on your phone or tablet or whatever works for you. But I'd love to have you look at the scriptures with me, okay? We're going to read these 5. The reason I asked Todd to do that last song, that it's all about you, is because that's what it's all about. It's not about, here's Johnny. Okay. When people meet me for the first time, I'm introducing myself. The joke is I said it's kind of like Johnny Cash, because he grew up in Arkansas too, like me. And Johnny Cash and John Denver put together, you get Johnny Dasher. Okay. And I don't sing or play the guitar. But one of the things, if you didn't look at these decorations, Jesus is the light of the world was one of the themes of this week. And the big one, I love the kids doing the singing, right? That Jesus is the what? Rock. And so that's what we're going to talk about today. And we're just going to take some of these posters around the wall. These are from VBS. It's worth taking a cruise around the room just to know what we had a chance to teach the kids this week. And on Thursday, I asked Pastor Scott before he left town, I said, is everybody going to wear their VBS shirts? And he said, yes. He says, you can wear your VBS shirt. And did anybody else wear their shirt? The answer is no. And they had to give me a Bronco orange shirt, right? Okay, so I think Scott picked that out for me. Let's go through these verses here. Chapter 3, 2 Peter 14, 15, and 16. It says, therefore, beloved, since you're waiting for these, which makes you go, these what? So we'll go back a little bit here in just a second. He talked about it last week. Be diligent. And you'll find that word diligent over in chapter 1 of this as well, too. He says to make every effort. Make every effort to be diligent. To be found by him without spot or blemish and at peace. And I was talking to somebody this week about this, and they said, wow, peace in this world is kind of crazy. Have you guys noticed there's a few conflicts going on in Europe and the Middle East, and China wants to rule the China Sea? And I mean, if you, here in our country, is there peace? Everybody say, no, there's not. So how do you be at peace, right? And count or regard the patience of our Lord as salvation. If you look at the verses just before this one, it was talking about, they're going, well, gosh, nothing's ever changed for thousands of years, right? Why do you say he's coming back? It's all the same. And this just says, the patience of our Lord is salvation. He gives people a chance to believe. And I like this part. Just as our beloved brother Paul also wrote to you, according to the wisdom given to him, as he does in all of his letters, when he speaks in them of these matters. There are some things in them that are hard to understand. Everybody say, uh-huh. Seriously, you guys, I have a lot of questions about Scripture. I have a lot of questions about why God allows things to happen and why things happen the way they do. And I don't have all the answers, but there are a few things that I know. And a friend of mine put it this way. He says, you know what? You need to learn to doubt your doubts. The things that you're doubting about, doubt your doubts, which is kind of an oxymoron. You can't really do that because then you're doubting your doubts. But he says, focus on what you know. What are the things you know? Christ was buried. He died. He rose again. He was seen by over 500 people. I'll take their word for it. He appeared to all of his disciples. So think about what you do know and what you can be certain about. And that's one of the things that you can be certain about, okay? There are some things in them that are hard to understand, which the ignorant and unstable twist to their own destruction as they do the other scriptures. And then this one goes on. It says, you therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand. How many of you guys have ever heard this little phrase, this catchphrase? It says, to be forewarned is to be forearmed. It's kind of the general translation. And so I looked it up and go, where's that come from? And Paul's saying, what Peter's saying is here, I've warned you about this one. There's some things that are hard to understand. Knowing this beforehand, take care that you're not carried away with the error of lawless people and lose your own stability. I've seen people walk away from the faith because they get unsettled or they have questions they can't get answered, right? But here's the vital, the concluding verse. Look at 18 with me. It says, to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory. It's all about you, what we just sang about. To Him be the glory, both now, so today, and to the day of eternity. Amen. It really is all about you, right? So, one of the things, looking back, that he's going, well, because of these things, since you're waiting for these things, here's what we're waiting for. He says there's going to be scoffers in the last days. There will be people that mock Scripture. We're waiting for the second coming of Jesus Christ. Everybody say, even so, come Lord Jesus, right? And there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. We got to talk to the kids about the flood. How many of you guys know the name William Bennett? If you know who William Bennett is, raise your hand. If you don't, I'll call you to repentance, okay? William Bennett is your state senator. He sends out a little weekly newsletter to say, hey, here's what's going on in Washington, D.C. This week, his very first part was a video. Does anybody know what happened on Monday? It was Memorial Day. Because it wasn't this week, but he sent out a Memorial Day video to honor all the veterans. But in that same little email, he has two other things here. The month of June, we talk about the flood. We talked about it today in my Sunday school class in Genesis. But the month of June is known as Pride Month. And he goes, Happy Pride Month, Colorado. Which, if I need to translate that for you, see me after the service, okay? But you know what? We've taken this rainbow that God gave us as a covenant. And so the earth is going to be destroyed one more time. I guess that's where I'm headed with this. There will be one more judgment. It's going to be by fire. And I wanted to find a picture. Anybody here work at the steel mill ever? I never did, okay? But they have these big crucibles, am I right? And when they make the iron, they heat it up. And when they heat it up, guess what rises to the surface? Everybody should know this one. All the slag or the impurities, right? And so there's going to be a fire. There's going to be a fire. God's coming back. And there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. And we're going to live in a new earth with new bodies. Some of you guys are going, man, that'll be great. I could use one of those, okay? So, but that's going to be happening. And then he goes on to be diligent. If you're filling in the blanks on your outline, to be diligent or to make every effort. In the first chapter, it talks about the same thing. It says, be diligent to make every effort to be conformed to the image of Christ, right? To be found without spot or blemish. Is that a pretty high bar? Without spot, without blemish. And yet, if you go back in 1 Peter, the book just before this one, in chapter 1, verse 19, it says, talking about Jesus, it says, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. How many of you guys want to be more like Jesus? I mean, if he's your Savior, I hope so. If he's your Savior and Lord, you want to be more like him, right? But it's not our righteousness, because if I'm trying to do it, I'm going to come up with all these little rules. Anybody here ever teach somebody to drive? Right? I mean, there's a country song that says, keep it between the lines. And I told my son, I said, that white line on the outside, you're not supposed to go over the one over here, because then you hit the rumble strip if you're on a big road, right? If you're on a little road, you just hit the curb. So you stay between that line, but you're not supposed to cross the middle line. So if I come up with all these little rules, okay, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do this, then I just become a law keeper and a law breaker. But Philippians 3:9 says this, is to be found in him, Jesus, not having a righteousness of my own from the law, not from keeping all the commandments, but one that is through faith in Jesus Christ, the righteousness from God. That's where my righteousness comes from. So when that fire comes, when that day of judgment comes, I can stand before the Father. I can stand before Christ at that judgment seat. And he sees me as righteous because of my faith in Jesus Christ. And because of that, you can have peace in the middle of all the chaos and all the turmoil. And then the last part, if you're filling in the blanks on your outline, is that the Lord is patient. He's not willing that anybody's going to perish. He wants all to come to salvation, right? I mean, I love our signs, right? The big theme for the week was God's truth never changes. It never changes. God's truth never changes. That was our big theme for the week. You'll see it back on the right as you're walking out the door. It's worth looking at. God's truth never changes. It's consistent. You can stand on it. And then we talked about how truth comes from God. Truth comes from God, okay? So it's important. Let's keep going on what Peter had to say. I love what Peter said about Paul. Why don't you find the little slide for me, Todd, that talks about what Peter said. I'm not following my own outline very well, okay? But here's what Peter said about Paul. He calls him beloved, right? Regard the patience of our Lord as salvation, just as our beloved brother Paul also wrote to you. How many of you guys have ever been chastised or corrected or told that you were screwing up? Right? How many of you can fill in the blank for me? It says you always praise in what? Anybody know? When you praise somebody or recognize them, you do that publicly. But when you're going to correct somebody, you should do it what? See, y'all got half of it right. It's all good. So you praise publicly, you praise it, and you correct in private. But here's what happened. If you go back to Galatians chapter 2, Paul had called Peter out, and he did it publicly, okay? It's in Galatians. Let me find the verse for you. If you want to follow, Galatians 2, 11 through 14. Here's what it says. But when Cephas, that was Peter's name, right? The rock, came to Antioch, Paul opposed him to his face because he stood condemned. For he regularly ate with the Gentiles, the believer Gentiles, before certain men came down from James and the church in Jerusalem. However, when they came, he withdrew and separated himself because he feared those from the circumcision party. And then the rest of the Jews joined his hypocrisy. You guys ever heard of Paul and Barnabas? I mean, Barnabas was his sidekick, right? It's Tonto and the Lone Ranger. I mean, it's Batman and Robin. So this is Barnabas. The rest of the Jews joined his hypocrisy so that even Barnabas was led astray by their hypocrisy. And then here's what it says. It says, but when I saw that they, Peter, and those with him, were deviating from the truth of the gospel. You ever heard Pastor Scott talk about swerve to the right or swerve to the left? But no, you need to stay on the straight and narrow path. He goes, when I saw that they were deviating from the truth of the gospel, I told Peter in front of everybody, if you who are a Jew live like a Gentile and not like a Jew, in other words, he had been eating and participating with the Gentiles. He's the one that had the vision. If you go back to the book of Acts and don't know the story, he's the one that had the vision that said, hey, It's okay to go to the Gentiles. It's not unclean. I told Cephas in front of everyone, if you who are a Jew live like a Gentile and not like a Jew, how can you compel Gentiles to live like Jews? So Paul corrected Peter in front of the whole group. It says publicly, man, in front of everybody. And yet later on, in these five verses, here's what Peter said. He says, he's beloved, right? And he gives the wisdom. So the first one, if you go back to the outline, is he says, Paul is beloved, and that he has wisdom. And then the last one says that he's difficult to understand. So you got two little blanks to fill in there, okay? So he's hard to understand. I have lots of questions, but just focus on what you know. Here, another guy put it this way. He goes, have you beliefs and have you doubts? Everybody say yes. We all have beliefs. We all have doubts. He goes, believe your beliefs and doubt your doubts. I just want to focus on the things that I know are true. And then I want you to feel free to ask questions. I love my class. I get to teach the middle school, 6th, 7th, and 8th graders. Do they have questions? Everybody say, uh-huh. Do dogs make it to heaven? I don't know. But they must. Somebody told me they must, because heaven's going to be a place of joy, right? So, what do you know? What can you confirm? Because we all go our own way. Isaiah 53 says we've all turned our own way. Let me read you a verse. It's in Acts chapter 17. It's Paul again. God overlooked people's ignorance about these things in earlier times, but now he commands people everywhere, everyone everywhere, to repent of their sins and turn to him. For he has set a day for judging the world. Did we just talk about that? These are the things that are going to be happening that you're supposed to be paying attention to. He has set a day for judging the world with justice by the man he has appointed, that's Jesus. And he proved to everyone this by raising him from the dead. And then it goes on in 26. It says, whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the vision that Paul received. He goes, I went out through all the coasts of Judea and the Gentiles that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. So, this is one of my great challenges. I said to bring your questions. Most of you, go to Ephesians 2 through 10. Todd, please. Most of you know this one. It's one of your Awana verses. You've all memorized it. It says, "Go, say it with me, you guys. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It's the gift of God. So God gave it to me. Not as a result of works, so that no one may boast." Right? So we're not saved by works. We're saved by grace through faith. But we're over here going, okay, I'm not saved by that. But the very next verse says, but we are his workmanship. We were created in Christ Jesus for good works. And we've put this little tension there that's not there. We're not saved by our works. But without our works, we're probably not saved. If it doesn't show up in your life, was it a genuine faith? Did it make a difference? Okay? God's truth never changes. If you look back on this wall, it says God's plan is the best. Todd, go to the five things that we... It'll say VBS at the top. Each day we had a little theme. It would say, some people say that truth can be different for different people. How many of you guys have ever heard that? Well, that's your truth. Or that's what you believe, but that's not what I believe, right? So we have to look at Scripture because we believe that's the foundational truth. Truth can be different for different, but our theme says God's truth never changes. You can stand on it. It really is a rock. It's a rock. The second day we said, do what makes you happy. Everybody help me. Even the young people will know this one. You don't have to know who Johnny Carson is, okay? But if it feels good, yeah, that's how we teach. It's like, it's okay. That's not what God says. And I have to go back to my notes and look and see what God said. I was only here all week. God says, my plan is even better. So God's plan is best, right? And then, how many of you guys have ever been talking to somebody about Christ and sin? And Miss Judy's not here, but Miss Judy taught the missions. And she taught me something this week. It was really, really good. Because we throw out words all the time that are Christianese words. It frustrates me. I have a son that does speech and debate. And the very first thing that the debaters do when they stand up is they go through their definitions and they define all of their terms. And the opponent either agrees or disagrees with them, right? And I'm standing in line at Sam's one day wearing my VBS shirt. And this little kid in front of me looks up at me and he goes, hey, what's VBS? No clue. No clue. Because it's one of our Christianese terms, right? And if you go, well, it stands for Vacation Bible School. He goes, well, what's that? Didn't know. Didn't know. We talk about grace. We don't know. We say, well, you've sinned. And everybody goes, well, what's sin? And we throw out all these terms. And Miss Judy taught us something this way. She goes, sin is anything that you think. Do this with me. This is fun. I got it. It was helpful. Anything that you think, see, say, or do that makes God cry or breaks his law. I think it breaks his heart is better, okay? Because we're not here to keep the law. But we want to care about our relationship with our Heavenly Father. So sin is anything that you think, see, say, or do that makes God cry or breaks his heart. Because we've all sinned. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. But most people will say, well, I'm a good person. How many of you guys really, I mean, you meet some people, how many of you guys have ever met somebody and said, gosh, he's a good person. I mean, we do this. Is that enough to overcome sin? No, God's holy and he's perfect. And that's what these verses are talking about, you guys. We've got sin and we need to deal with it, okay? Being a good person doesn't get you into heaven. Jesus is the only way. And that's on one of these. There we go. Look back here. See, I told you, it's worth walking around. It was a great week. Jesus is the only way. But we want to, that's not well liked. Everybody thinks you're narrow-minded. All right? And then the other one is speak the truth in love. That was the last day. Speak the truth in love. How many of you guys have ever heard, if you don't agree with me, then you don't love me, right? You ever had somebody you disagree with? Everybody say yes. I mean, if you're married, I know that's true. Okay, no, anyway. You guys, seriously. We have these conflicts. We disagree with people. What we've forgotten to do in our country is that you can disagree and still show respect and love for somebody. It doesn't, I mean, both sides call people haters. It's not that you just don't love me. And quite honestly, there are some Christian churches that have misrepresented the love of Jesus Christ, and the hate would be real in their life. If I say Gandhi, the guy from India, most of you will know who I'm talking about. Some of you won't, but that's okay. His little thing, he never became a Christian. He went to school in England. He was exposed to the gospel. He goes, I love your Christ, but I don't like the Christians. Don't be the barrier. Speak the truth in love. I was sharing this with Alicia, Miss Bailey, Scott's wife. And she had a quote for me on Friday. I love to quote quotes. She says, truth without love is brutality. Because you can be harsh with somebody. Truth without love is brutality, but love without truth is hypocrisy. It's by Warren Wiersbe, a pastor, right? There's another quote that says that faith alone justifies. We just talked about that in Ephesians chapter 2:8. For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith. It's not of works. But faith alone justifies, but it doesn't justify if it doesn't show up. We were created in Christ Jesus to do good works. That's why he made us. That's what we're here for. to serve people. If you go back, Pastor Scott's going to do the review next week, so come back. He's going to go through 1st, 2nd Peter, and he's going to do the review. But I love how it starts out. It starts off with Peter, a servant. First, it doesn't say Peter, an apostle. It says Peter, a servant and an apostle. He doesn't lead from position. He leads from his service. And there was a huge service here this week with people that volunteered, stood up. One day, 6 days, bounce houses, everything. You guys did a great job, and we touched a lot of kids' lives. And they got truth in love. They understand that God's plan is the best, that his truth never changes. Our memory verse for the week was Romans 12, chapter 2. Romans 12, chapter 2. And I love this version. We were going from the CSB, which is, I forget what, something Bible. Okay. But it says, do not be conformed to this age. Because most of them, if you have a pew Bible, it's going to say world. But this one said age. Is the world around us confused? Everybody say, uh-huh. But don't be conformed to this age. My daughter had her baby shower 2 weeks ago. And they asked my wife to make little tarts. And so she ordered a special pan. And those tarts were conformed to the image of that pan. They had the same shape. This says, don't be conformed or shaped to this age. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may discern what is the good, pleasing, and perfect will of God. If you want to know God's will, read his book. In our class this week, there were three young men. I had the 5th and 6th graders. There were three of them in there that can't read. One of them goes, I do listen. I said, hey, that counts. That counts. So parents, invest some time with your kids. Spend time with them in God's word. It's not about us. It's about him. Okay? And then the last thing is this. Where are we at? We're with Peter and Paul, and he loved him. Oh, this is pretty cool. If you go back to that verse about Peter, it says that, page one, there we go. I love it when I get them out of order. Okay. Account or regard the patience of our Lord as salvation, God's patient, just as our beloved brother. So Paul's beloved, according to the wisdom, he has wisdom. Sometimes he's hard to understand. There are some things in them that are hard to understand. This was fascinating. I'd never seen this before, you guys. This was this week. There are some things in them that are hard to understand, which the ignorant and unstable twist to their own destruction, as they do the other scriptures. So Peter just elevated what Paul had written to scripture. I had never seen that. But Peter acknowledged, hey, you know what? What Paul is writing is scripture. That was fascinating to me. He gave it credibility. So it was a huge thing. And he goes, you know, beloved, beforehand, that don't be carried away by the error of lawless people and lose your own stability. It was about a month ago, my wife and I had a chance. We went to see our son in Seattle. And he lives on the north side of Seattle. We fly into SeaTac Airport. And there's a light rail that goes in between the two. And so we jumped on the light rail. And we're sitting there, and there's a guy across the aisle from me that looked like a female, okay? It was clearly a guy. And we had a great conversation, seriously, into town. And I talked about going on some of our missions, and I was plugging you because the other guy there was a teacher at UW, and he's a black guy from Africa. And I said, oh, a friend of ours is just going over to Uganda. It was really fun. And this guy over was talking about missions and stuff like that. He goes, you know, he says, we need more progressive Christians, because he says, we're all going to be up there. And my wife reaches over and just puts her hand on my shoulder. She says, stop. Right?
She goes, not the time, not the place. Because I was sitting there going through my phone. I found the scripture verse, right? Because he'd referred to one. I said, let's go see what Bible says. God's word never changes. But we live in a culture of shifting sands. We really do. But you need to be prepared to speak the truth in love. So you love people, you stand firm. Do not be transformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you can decide what is the perfect, pleasing, and perfect will of God. Make sense? Okay. Todd, road signs. Road signs. The road signs. So repentance means to change the way you think and to see. I love how we throw out Christianese words. I already talked about that. One of the things we talk about is repent. If I asked all of you what it means to repent, I guarantee you I would get at least 10 to 20 different answers, if not 100. Some people say, well, it means to turn around or to change your direction. And I looked it up, man. I was going like, I don't really even have a clear definition. But it goes, to repent is to change the way you think. You hear about the ABCs here at Majestic a lot. Say, A, admit to God that you're a sinner. They sang that song, right? And repent. And it says, it's not just admit. It's like, God, I'm a sinner. You have to repent. And so you change your thinking. You transform your mind to match God's mind. Show me what sin is, God. What breaks your heart? What am I doing in my life? And some of us hang out with the sign on the left and say, well, this is my road. And God, I don't want you in this part of my life. So you say, it's a private road and there's no U-turn. I'm just going to go do what I want to do. First in the Old Testament says, and they all did what was right in their own eyes. But God calls us to repent. He wants us to do the U-turn. If we change the way we think and we change the way we live, because it has to change the way you live. Otherwise, it's just talk. And people are going to read your life. So, you guys, I'm going to go back and read the verses, and we are done. Page 1. Therefore, beloved, since you're waiting for these, that return of Christ, be diligent to be found without spot or blemish, and to be at peace, and count the patience of the Lord as salvation, just as Paul did. Man, I don't know about you, but when somebody calls me out, it's hard to call them beloved. It's hard. And Peter changed. As Paul wrote, according to the wisdom given to him, because they're different, they teach it differently, but they teach the same thing. He does this in all of his letters. Some of them are hard to understand. People will twist it. Some people took Paul's teachings and said, man, I'm forgiven. I can go do anything I want. That's not what Scripture teaches. Repent. He created us in Christ Jesus for good works. It's not a license to do anything I want to do. What does the Word of God say? God's truth never changes. You therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, you've been warned, take care that you're not carried away with the error of lawless people and lose your own stability. Be stable. Then, Todd, go back to the grow thing. But grow, the last one. So Miss Judy had this in her missions class. How many of you guys have ever seen this? It's called the little whoop. This is called flipping it out of your hands. That's what it's called. It's called the wordless book. Anybody seen it? It's one of the things we use to share the gospel. Sometimes they do it with beads. Sometimes they do it with this one. So black, anybody want to guess what black stands for? Sin. And now we know what sin is, right? It's nothing that breaks God's heart. And then the way we get rid of sin, it's not our righteousness, but it's the blood of Christ that cleanses us. And we have his righteousness, and then we're forgiven. Okay? And then you get to walk on these streets of gold. And the last one, the green. Anybody want to guess what the green is for? It's an open book test. Okay, it's up on the wall. It's grow. For Mother's Day this year, my wife got two planters. She will tell you, we don't grow things. Things die at our house, okay? It's really good. I'm really good with Roundup. I'm not really good with fertilizer. It's just not a good thing for me, okay? But we want people to grow. And so it's a little acronym. G, you grow by who you hang out with. Got two athletes here. Both on scholarship, am I right? To Liberty? Or did you lose yours after? Okay. So both on scholarship to Liberty University playing hockey. If you want to be a better hockey player, you play better hockey players. And you get a good coach. And you grow. So who are you hanging out with? Are you going to church? Are you going to Sunday school? Are you going to VBS? Are you in a small group? Are you allowing yourself to be nurtured? And then to read. And if you don't read, hey, it's okay. Listen. But expose yourself to God's word. Expose yourself to God's word. God's truth never changes. And then the O, remember the little U-turn sign? I think in the grow part of the equation, this is the one that we struggle with the most. Obey. If you love me, what does he say? Keep my commandments. We were created in Christ Jesus to do good works. That's why we're here. And then share it with other people. How do you witness and speak the truth? But do it in love. Do it in love. So come back next week. Pastor Scott's going to wrap up the whole thing. But the last verse says that to him be the glory. It's not about us, it's about him. Okay? To him be the glory, both now and to the day of eternity, forevermore. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for this week of VBS and all the truths that we learned that apply to all of us, not just to the kids. Help us to grow. Help us to lift up Christ, that he would be glorified now and forever, that we would discern what the good works are that you have created for each one of us. We're all different. But help us to be diligent, to show ourselves approved. Help us to make every effort as we allow you to work in us. Holy Spirit, work in our life. Change us. Conform us to the image of Christ. We ask in your Son's name and for his sake. Amen.